Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. To discuss the debate we had on this program last week with a homosexual leader, we've brought the BEL medical analyst into the studio, Nurse Maria. Nurse Maria, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
This guy, his name is Wayne Besson, and he's with a group called Truth Wins Out in Brooklyn, New York. He's their director, and you listened to that program, and since you have a background, you're a nurse practitioner, you have a lot of experience, I thought it'd be helpful to talk through that discussion. Was he upfront and accurate with his claims about homosexuality?
Well, he was upfront, but he wasn't accurate.
He wasn't accurate. So let's talk through the debate. You and I have a bit of an outline here of what was covered on that program, and I think we need to give a warning. Could you give the warning?
Yeah, if you have young children listening and you don't want them to hear perverted information, they should not be listening.
They shouldn't be listening. Yeah.
This is really an adult-only show.
Yeah, this is gross. About homosexuality. And to start with, I asked Wayne Besson to acknowledge the greater health risk of homosexual sex. He completely denied it.
Yes,
and
he did.
And Nurse Maria, I made a statement. I said, unlike... And I got this from research that you find on the internet. I said, unlike, and that doesn't mean it's accurate, but I believe it's accurate. Unlike heterosexual intercourse, gay sex, anal sex, rectal intercourse is the best way to spread hepatitis B, HIV, syphilis, and other bloodborne diseases.
Right. And the CDC confirms that 71% of the HIV infections in America are from men having sex with men. And you were correct in the anatomy and physiology of a body, because a woman is built in her vagina and her private parts to have about 30 cell layers thick of worth of tissue. And so that is...
So the wall, the tissue that protects her and her blood system.
Right.
About 25, 30 cells thick.
Right. And so obviously if it's that thick, it's able to take, you know, intercourse and any kind of trauma. But if your rectum is designed, and it is, and we believe that we're designed by God, it was designed to have things going out, not going in.
Right.
That it's a cell layer thick. And when that happens...
It's a single cell layer thick.
Exactly. So when that happens, any kind of tearing is going to obviously happen more easily than in something that is way thicker.
Yeah, of course. And so
leading to more disease and more risk for disease.
Mm-hmm. So I quote it from Dr. Paul Cameron from his website, familyresearchinstitute.com. Actually, it's familyresearchinst.com. That because the rectal wall is so thin, a single cell thick, sperm readily penetrate the rectal wall, causing great risk of disease. And tearing or bruising of the anal wall is common during homosexual sex, and then feces and other germs gain almost direct access to the bloodstream. Wayne Besson denied all this.
Well, he just doesn't know his anatomy then.
He doesn't know, or he doesn't want to know.
He doesn't want to know. There are medical journals dedicated just to AIDS, to gay men issues. I have a nurse practitioner journal that was sent out maybe last year, the year before, that talked about doing anal paps on men. Hmm. And, you know, women get pap tests to look for cervical cancer and other illnesses. And so now we're doing them for gay men. Mm-hmm. In their anus. So that tells us that there's an obvious increase in prevalence of diseases related just to that body area from a behavior.
And AIDS, before it was called AIDS, it was termed gay man's bowel syndrome.
Right. And there's about at least 30 to 40 different intestinal diseases associated with gay sex.
Mm. Now, Wayne Besson, he didn't rebut that, but he did bring up another issue. He brought up Africa.
Yes.
Did you catch that?
I did. And he was basically if I remember it correctly, was saying that women in Africa kind of have basically the same risk of getting AIDS.
As men do. Here in America, even AIDS activists have come out over the last 2 years and stated publicly that in America, AIDS is not a heterosexual disease.
Right.
It is primarily a homosexual disease. Of course, on Bob and Yurt Live, going back 17 years, we were saying that and warning people. That's just an example of the danger of the homosexual lifestyle. God did not design us for that kind of behavior. So it's dangerous emotionally, spiritually, it's destructive. And so now even AIDS activists are acknowledging that it's primarily a homosexual issue, and intravenous drug use,
right,
and many IV drug users also engage in homosexual activity.
Right.
And in the early years, they just lumped all that into IV drug use,
right,
and they were somewhat deceptive. So he brought up Africa because in Africa, there are more women who are HIV positive percentage-wise than in America.
Right. But there's a lot of issues in Africa that he didn't bring up. And one of them is there in some parts of Africa, there's a belief on behalf of men infected with AIDS that if they have sex with a girl who's a virgin, obviously a young girl we're talking about, that he will be cured of his AIDS.
And okay, yeah, let's talk about cultural practices in Africa. I've never been to Africa. My wife Cheryl and I, we have between us 7 boys, and our youngest 3 boys. They're, you know, the oldest is 11 years of age of those 3. And when they were being born, we had one doctor delivered all 3. And she's a woman doctor. And she was angry at us because we had them circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And she would try to talk us out of it each time, every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Bible doesn't say we have to circumcise our kids. That was true for Israel as a nation. And in fact, Paul says, don't circumcise for spiritual reasons, because that's the wrong covenant. We're under the covenant of grace,
right,
not the covenant of circumcision. But I recognize that her anger toward circumcision was really an indirect anger against God, the Bible, Judaism. It's a way of saying that God of the Bible was cruel, because he was cruel to kids.
Right.
So I said to her, you know, in Africa, this is a decade ago, in Africa, those who are circumcised have a dramatically less incident of getting HIV infection. And she was, you know, shocked. I'm not sure that she believed me, but she said, how would you know about circumcision? And I said, I wrote a book on it, you know, called The Plot, an overview of the Bible. And it's pretty fascinating. It's fun. But now the UN's World Health Organization, the WHO, the CDC here in America, they have acknowledged that circumcision is so vital to prevention of HIV infection that they are urging circumcision of men throughout Africa.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating development.
It is.
You mentioned the belief of sex with a virgin.
Right, would remove their HIV.
That absurd, you know, absurd pagan concept.
Right.
Not based in science. Also, there is evidence that in Africa, men are under the belief that if they engage in homosexual behavior early in their lives, they're not homosexuals.
Hmm.
So that they will engage in homosexual behavior and then they'll get married. And so there is a widespread immorality that comes with a rejection or a lack of knowledge of the Judeo-Christian worldview on morality that goes along with circumcision, because it was Abraham and his descendants who taught circumcision and, of course, the sexual morality that came from the God of Abraham.
Right.
The value of marriage and sex only within marriage.
Exactly. And that's Africa's other problem, not being monogamous and not waiting until marriage. And so when we have all these factors going and we have Americans coming into Africa throwing condoms at everybody, basically saying it's fine to keep doing what you're doing, but be safe about it. They've had a rise in AIDS in their country.
Now,
and the other problem that he was saying, we know in America it's very hard for women to get HIV from a man typically. But let's say a woman is very promiscuous and she has something like chlamydia, another sexually transmitted disease, and she doesn't know she has it because for the most part, people don't have symptoms. So unless she gets an annual checkup, she might not find it. And mm-hmm. so if she has that disease already, her immune system, mainly her T cells, are going to be at that site fighting that infection. And so here comes this man that has HIV, and the HIV, you know, after they have sex, can just hop right onto the T cells and do their destruction.
Oh, I see.
So other that makes STDs, a woman more susceptible.
So other STDs make a woman more susceptible right. to getting still more STDs.
Exactly.
And so because of widespread misuse of women in Africa, even worse than perhaps in America, women are more susceptible. Those are some you know, plausible ideas about what's going on in Africa. Right. When you came into the studio, you mentioned that Wayne Besson talked about Africa, and you said, interesting, he didn't bring up Uganda.
Right, and he didn't want to bring up Uganda because the Ugandan president is a Christian, and he looked at the detriment of AIDS in his country, and he started teaching abstinence. They do teach some condom use, but as a very last resort. Abstinence, monogamy, and they dropped their AIDS infection rate from 28% to 7%.
Well, I have here a quote from the co-chair of Uganda's National AIDS Prevention Committee, and this was in the Washington Post. This is back this past summer, and he wrote this to America and to our U.S. Senate. He wrote, "We understand that casual sex is dear to you, but staying alive is dear to us. We will show you how to prevent AIDS."
Right.
And he talked about the tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that America is pouring into AIDS prevention in Africa, and that it backfires.
Right.
Billions of condoms, and they increase their rate of HIV infection.
Right. And I had a previous statistic that I can no longer find from the CDC that condom use only reduced your risk of AIDS by 30%.
And the Center basically, for Disease Control, CDC.
Right. And basically, you know, that's a pretty high number of people that could get AIDS. I mean, would you advocate to your child that here's a bottle of aspirin, there's 100 tablets in here, but 30 of them are cyanide?
Oh, right.
Go for it.
And so you're saying the CDC had on their website in the past that condoms will reduce your
risk of getting HIV by 30%.
By 30%. And now they're saying what?
They're saying 85%? That it's 85% with okay. consistent use. But most people aren't consistent.
Right.
And the more promiscuous you are and the more you advocate that you just, you know, throw on a condom and everything mm-hmm. will be okay, the more risky people's behavior becomes. Mm.
And there's a death wish, tragically, in some of the homosexual community where they have gift givers and
That's
bug
right.
seekers.
Looking for a man who has AIDS, and right. you don't have AIDS, and just the thrill of possibly getting this dread disease is just great.
Infecting someone else. Yeah.
Right. I think they also have a misperception now that people with AIDS are living so much longer because of the antiviral drugs that it's just a chronic disease and it's no big deal. I don't know many people that want a chronic disease.
No, right.
It's very detrimental to your entire life.
Mm. We talked, Wayne Besson and I talked about child sexual molestation, and you know, I've referred to him on our website since as the Queen of Denial.
Yes.
Wayne Besson, he denied that there could even be such a thing theoretically as homosexual child molestation, as though that can't possibly happen. That's absurd.
It is absurd.
It's like saying there's no racism among blacks.
Exactly.
It's like saying blacks can't be racist. That's absurd.
It is absurd.
Whites and
blacks
are both
racist. And for him to make
a
blanket statement like that means that he's just hiding something. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say that when I was a child that, you know, I was molested by a man and then he grows up to be a homosexual?
Right.
Or someone like Rosie O'Donnell pointed out that her mother died when she was 11 and the lack of that mother relationship led her to be gay. And then at the same instant, she adopts kids, boys, and deprives them of a father from the get-go.
Of a father. And we know that many homosexuals have reported of their own lives that they had an absent father or a weak father.
Mm-hmm.
Many homosexuals report that they were inducted into the lifestyle by an older...
That's right.
A teenager or a man.
Or a friend of their parents, like Cher's daughter. One of her friends, she let babysit her daughter Chastity, and she's now a homosexual. Mm. She had been molesting her daughter.
So if you're in denial, let's say that the statistics show, which they do, that homosexuals are a far greater risk to molesting children than are heterosexuals. But you deny that there can be any such thing as homosexual child molestation. Those statistics are not going to mean anything to you.
No, they don't.
Because you're just in utter denial.
But then you're a person that isn't interested in the welfare of children.
Mm. Yeah, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe you're more interested in using them.
Homosexuality is utter selfishness.
Right, and homosexuals will condemn the Catholic Church for the
priest
scandal, the sex scandal, and at the same time, right, but at the same time, they fight against the Boy Scouts who were trying to protect boys from that same abuse.
Right, right. And the priest scandal, what percentage? I don't know the percentage of priests who molest boys.
Well, I heard it as high as 80 that they were homosexuals.
It's high. And the
we also have to remember those boys that were molested weren't like 6 or 7. They were like 12 to 17. Hmm. And so they're kind of developing young men. Hmm. And, you know, NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, they advocate sex with boys starting at the age of 12.
Back in the 60s, maybe 50s, 1960s, Roman Catholic seminaries began a policy of admitting homosexuals, knowingly enrolling homosexuals, as long as they made the same pledge of celibacy.
Right.
And that is now recognized as having been a huge mistake for the Catholic Church.
Exactly. And I'm sure that Wayne is just a huge fan of Alfred Kinsey, who did all of his studies with pedophiles.
With pedophiles
and abusing children and many host of other perversions.
Isn't there a video called The Children of Table 34 or something
like that?
Something like that. Where he has, in his research, he has just despicable statistics on children and the time it takes, how you bring children, young boys, to
infants,
sex, to climax. And the question is, how did he get this data?
Exactly.
He was a homosexual pervert.
Right.
And he's a hero.
Right.
He's a child molester, but he did it in the name of science. He's a hero to the homosexuals.
Did Wayne and his group express any outrage over that young boy that was raped and murdered by two homosexuals? What was his name? Jesse Dirksen or something like that? His parents are suing NAMBLA because they feel they were a direct influence on the two men that hurt him. There was no outrage over that.
Well, you know the way HIV and AIDS became the first disease with its own civil rights?
Right.
Which helped to promote it and kill hundreds of thousands of young boys and men in America.
And guilted people into feeling sorry for them.
Yeah. And in New York, as well as many other places, it's against the law to reveal that someone has HIV.
Right.
Which is absurd.
It is absurd.
It's a recipe for a health epidemic.
Of course. And it's unfair to unsuspecting people to not know that someone is carrying something like that. Now, if you have syphilis, Bob, I have to report it to the public health department that you have syphilis.
Remember Greg Louganis, the Olympic swimmer?
That's right.
Who was HIV positive? He didn't tell the fellow swimmers. He didn't tell anybody. And sure enough, he hit his head on a diving board, was it? And he didn't have the decency to let those who are giving him first aid know that he was HIV positive.
Right.
That's selfishness.
Well, and Magic Johnson did that for a while, too. Basketball is a rough game with lots of scratching, bleeding, bumping each other.
Yeah, that's
right.
And that
was unfair.
And you know what enraged me? I remember back when I was first on the radio, in New York City, a homosexual abducted a boy walking to school. I think it was a first grade boy. And he raped that boy. And he was caught. And the police found out that that homosexual was HIV positive. They told the boy's parents. Well, homosexual activists in New York went public with their anger that this homosexual's rights were violated. Nurse Maria, that enraged me. How dare they? How dare they suggest that this boy and his parents shouldn't have been notified? That vile homosexual raped him and put him at risk of AIDS.
Right. So destroyed him emotionally and probably physically.
Right. Exactly.
And
they had the nerve.
Exactly. And you know, your friend Wayne yesterday talked kind of about how homosexuals are giving to society and so helpful and we should be so glad. Yet I see no outrage in just the incidents that you brought up.
Yeah.
They weren't outraged that this happened to this boy.
Right.
And everything about what we've talked about today is about protecting them. They don't care about their fellow man whatsoever.
Well, it's rebellion. It's homosexuality is rebellion against God and selfishness. That's what it comes down to. So,
but he shouldn't act like they're so giving when that's not true.
When I brought up that homosexuals, the community, not all, but the community has a widespread tolerance of pedophilia, sex with kids, and they even promotes pedophilia. So they tolerate and promote it. And he denied it. He said only the fringe NAMBLA guys that I never met one in my whole life. So I asked him, have you ever heard of Harvey Milk? You know, that movie that's out now with that homosexual. And in New York City, there's the Harvey Milk High School for boys. And Out Magazine, which is one of the biggest homosexual publications in the country, they quoted the director, Damian Martin, of the Harvey Milk High School, saying this in an article by Jesse Green, quote, no kid has ever been hurt by oral sex. That's despicable. There is a leader at the Harvey Milk High School, the principal, saying oral sex is fine for kids. It's in Out Magazine.
How does he know that?
Yeah, how would he know that? Good question.
You know, that almost sounds like in Wilberforce movie Amazing Grace, where one of the parliament members stood up and said, we have no evidence that the Africans object to the trade.
Yeah, we don't have any evidence
they don't
that
mind
Africans
being slaves.
Don't like being slaves, right? And so I asked Wayne Besson. So he said he never saw anybody in his life who, you know, would tolerate, promote pedophilia. I asked him, will you condemn Allison Publication in Boston? And he knew who they were. They're probably the largest homosexual publisher in the country. And remember those kiddie books for first graders and kindergartens published for homosexuals to promote their lifestyle to kids?
The ones in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
In Mitt Romney's territory?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And this was before him. Heather Has Two Mommies, Daddy's Roommate, Gloria Goes to Gay Pride. Well, Allison Publications, they published those books to introduce kids to homosexuality.
That's nice.
Well, they also published Pedophilia, The Radical Case, along with other publications promoting sex with children.
Right.
And this is a 300-page book on how to have sex with young, even preteen boys. And I asked him, would you condemn Allison Press? He said, no, I will not.
Well, that's just terrific.
He's an example.
Right.
He said, I don't know any. I've never met one homosexual in my life who would do that. And here you are tolerating a leading publisher promoting sex with children.
That's right. Do you remember in the 90s, Bob, when the American Psychological Association said that pedophilia was good for kids and you should even invite child molesters into your home?
Wow. Well, I forget that one. But you know what? They have been guilty. He mentioned the American Psychological Association as though they're a source of goodness in the world.
Well, they're just the source that took away the stigma of homosexuality. They said it was no longer a disorder.
And you know, if I recall correctly, you know when they did that, NAMBLA, I think it was NAMBLA, crashed one of their meetings and physically went inside and demanded that they take away the stigma for homosexuality, and they agreed to do it. They published, they have something called the Psychological Bulletin. It's this prestigious journal, supposedly. And they published an article with a very scientific-sounding title. And it actually was an attempt to advance pedophilia. It was titled, A Meta-Analytic Examination of Assumed Properties of Child Sexual Abuse.
So once again, that we have no evidence that they oppose being abused.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
And do you know that NAMBLA is the only group that's a group of perversion, basically, that has lobbyists in every state?
I did not know
that. They would like to reduce the age of consent down to 12.
Well, they're working on that also in Africa.
Yes, NAMBLA.
And NAMBLA had consulting status at the UN, you know, consulting on public policy. And they're a homosexual pedophile group. And they had that because they were part of a homosexual coalition.
That's right.
And it's thanks to Christians being outraged that NAMBLA was kicked out. But the homosexuals are still there promoting their perversion. The Advocate, leading homosexual magazine, had an article about kids called Recruit, Recruit, Recruit. And in The Advocate, in another article, Carl Maves ask this question: how many gay men would have missed out on a valuable experience if it weren't for so-called molestation. I mean, the Advocate, Out Magazine, Allison Publications, they're all not only tolerant, but even promoting and positive about sex with young children.
Right. And who's their other cohort? Planned Parenthood, who also has the goal of making sure that young children have sex.
Mm-hmm. So the Queen of Denial, that's what we called him on our website, kgov.com. We asked him about why we don't allow a male coach in the girls' locker room.
Yeah, and he wouldn't answer.
He wouldn't answer. I mean...
And then he accused you of that you were going to go someplace and do it.
He knew where the reasoning was headed.
Exactly.
We don't allow men in the girls' locker room because there's a sexual attraction between men and women.
Right.
And there's a transition of puberty and teenage years. And so you don't do it.
Right.
They can't admit that because why would we allow a male homosexual who's attracted to males, why would we allow them in the teenage boys' locker room and showers?
Right.
It's wrong.
It is wrong.
And you know who has the identical problem as Wayne Besson? Focus on the Family.
Exactly.
They have the same problem because they say equal rights for homosexuals.
But Focus also will not condemn several other things, like they will not condemn pornography. They don't want it illegal. They just want it controlled. How do we control obscenity?
Yeah, how do you control sex outside of marriage? So Focus on the Family says that we should legislate against obscenity. We should stop obscenity, but pornography is free speech, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Dobson bought into that when he was on the Commission on Pornography.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Which is real unfortunate.
We should stand strong.
Yeah. Okay, so I asked him, Wayne Besson, about when I was in a studio at Downtown FM, maggot-infested, long-haired radio station.
I'm sorry you had to go there.
Yeah, thank you. And here was this transsexual who spilled right before airtime, a minute before airtime. He dressed like a she with the operation, sex change. I don't know what to call it.
I don't know what to call him either. And I get so confused when I see them. I don't know what to think.
And I said, Mr. Besson to Wayne Besson. I didn't know if I have to ask him, could I call you Mr. Besson?
Yeah.
I mean, the Mr. part, right. Is that okay?
I don't know.
Anyway, this guy spilled his pop on the table and then took his purse and scooped the pop into the purse.
Which just proves he's a guy. Because I tell you, a few weeks ago, that my husband put a water bottle in my purse that he didn't realize didn't have a lid on it. Oh. And it spilled in my purse. And that caused a fight for about half an hour. You don't put icky things in women's purses.
No, you
and
don't.
You should just stay out of your wife's purse.
So, that's right. So that guy was a guy.
Yes, of course. A woman would never put pop in her purse.
Nurse Maria, I want to thank you. You are our BEL medical analyst. Thank you for coming on to help deconstruct the interview with Wayne Besson.
Well, we can't have people having inaccurate information. I'm sure Wayne can appreciate that since he felt he was very accurate.
Yeah, and it's important. It's life or death.
That's right.
And it's rebellion against God or humbling ourselves to him. Thank you again, Nurse Maria. Appreciate
that.
Our website is kgov.com. I think you'll want to read the show summary with the debate with Wayne Besson. It's right there at kgov.com. In Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.